Welcome to the Inner and Outer Game Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Ms. Deborah Shillette Wilson. Deborah, why don't you take it from here?
Okay, well, great. I'm real excited to be able to share some things that I've learned and pass on to other people that are listening in. I'm sure at one time or another, you've all heard your GPS say, route recalculation. Probably not in that voice, but the words are the same. So living in the country like I do, mine says that frequently because it doesn't know all the shortcuts that I know. In fact, Google still doesn't have my address correct, and I've been trying to get that changed for years. So I found out that it's been sending clients to a field about 5 miles west of here, which is not good for business. So I've learned to caution new clients to follow my directions and not listen to their GPS. It's also a familiar voice I hear while driving around in Dallas. I think all the new road construction confuses it, and sometimes it confuses me as well. As a matter of fact, one time I had to call my friend in Oklahoma to help give me accurate directions on how to get to where I was going because I was almost late for a meeting. So I usually find it annoying and have been known, I'll admit, to talk back to it, not like it does any good. But the other day when I heard that voice, it dawned on me how much route recalculation was reflected in my life, in all the necessary changes that I've had to make in my thinking and in my doing. I didn't grow up with social media and cell phones and the internet. I've been trying to catch up with all that for years. I've decided now that for sure catching up or keeping up is not an option. So I've decided I just need to kind of start where I am, dive in, and do the best I can. Like me, I'm sure you've encountered your own challenges in life and with technology, maybe experienced some roadblocks, found hazards in the road that you didn't count on, and maybe even had to turn around when you found out that there were washed out bridges or you lost your roadmap. We have no app, at least not yet, to remind us of what is truly important to us in the depths of our inner core, in the face of the outer world's multiple distractions. They really don't have equal importance, but it seems like some of them are so loud they all seem like they do. So how do you stay connected to your core self? How do you use that inner core to navigate the outer world so you're living the life you really choose and not someone else's? How do you stay on track? I've asked myself these same questions and actually found some helpful answers, which I offer to you today. These questions came back to me when I recently found myself at a new crossroads in my life. Last year, I again found myself overwhelmed by trying to successfully navigate marketing book, my books that I've written, a jewelry line I created, coaching programs and counseling programs, and also becoming a business builder in a new company. I was excited about them all. I mean, they were all fun. They served other people in helpful ways. But they all needed marketing that I really hadn't had to do in order to build my counseling and coaching practice. And so I was reaching a dilemma because even though I loved all of these things that I wanted to do, loving them had become a problem because there was no way I was going to be able to do all of them at the same time. Go figure. The first thing I had to do was slow down, take that pause and check in with myself. It's something I've learned to do over the last several years because I needed the special time to schedule. If it's not on my schedule, it's kind of like it doesn't happen. And so it's a time I schedule with no distractions to just get quiet and see, you know, if I'm on track with where I'm wanting to go, if I've lost my place, or if I've left the track. So my red flag for the need for this meeting is when I begin to experience overwhelm and that frazzled feeling. And that's where I was going. So in this meeting, again, I realized I had become a human doing and forgot about my human being. I looked at all the things I was trying to do, reality set in, and I knew I couldn't do all these things at once. But which ones to keep and which ones to let go of? Of course, my counseling and coaching practice were no-brainers because they were helping me with my income, so that left all the others. Which led me back to a defining moment when I learned the importance of using my values as a guidance system. What was that defining moment? A few years ago, as a counselor, I was called to testify in a court on a custody case. It was an unusual case, and it lasted almost a year, and was one of those incredible learning experiences, which I didn't appreciate at the time. It was only later, after it was all over, you know how that goes. So I was called to testify on behalf of a young child, and I was advocating that the child's developmental needs be taken into account and make some adjustments in the visitation. I was very disappointed in the outcome and in the wrath that awaited me by one of the attorneys. So the lesson, too, was apparently parent rights outweigh child developmental needs. And in that experience, I really felt like I had failed this child. Luckily, it was during this time that I was also working on a new model based on living life more consciously from your values. My practice has been, before I offer any model to clients, I always work through it myself. And I'm actually not sure where I'd be today if I hadn't been using that as I licked my wounds in defeat. You know, in our culture, we're so focused on outcomes to determine and judge our level of success in life. That really leaves out a lot. So my courtroom outcome flashed failure to me from that cultural way of thinking. But this was a very different model. Of course, I didn't know that until I got into it, but I began to realize that how this model defined values as desired qualities of ongoing action, and that was the measurement of success. Things like being a caring person, keeping your word, you know, respecting others even if you don't agree with them, you know, being helpful. Those are values that they're never really complete because they're an ongoing part of your inner life and how you want to behave as a human being and what you want to stand for. And I had never thought of my values in that way. I mean, I think we all have values, but I mean, who really takes the time to stop and think about what they are and whether you're living from them or not? And so I hadn't, but this really gave me pause to consider what my values were. And then I realized that goals are really different from values. But I guess I always thought they were kind of the same thing. But from this point of view, goals really, if you think about it, they have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And once you reach that goal, you know, you're kind of done and you can check it off your to-do list. So I came to think of my values as like an inner compass that helps me set my direction and helps me get back on track when I get distracted. And goals are more like, you know, the things I want to do and the places I want to go and experiences I want to have and, you know, things I want to have, you know, like a sapphire Mercedes-Benz convertible. That sounds good. So those are things in the outer world. And so how this became important in my life was when I realized that I had successfully maintained my value by advocating for this child, because my life had been about helping children. So no matter how much my professionalism and my knowledge were called into question during the court testimony, no matter how much I was threatened and yelled at while I was on the stand, and no matter how scared I was when I got called back to testify like three other times, so altogether it was four times, I had kept that commitment to help this child and to live consistently with the value that I have had for years of helping children, and especially helping adults to understand the developmental needs of children because that's still something that's not happening in the world today. So my goal was that, you know, by providing all this research, my testimony, my experience, and sharing all this with attorneys, parents, and judges, and the jury, that they would realize that it was in the best interest of the child that the visitation come from a developmentally appropriate place for this child's age, because it was, in my opinion, was causing the distress that we were seeing in this child. And then, you know, I thought that would be good enough and they would make adjustments. But that was not what happened. And so in not getting that outcome, my critical inner judge said, you're not successful and maybe you shouldn't be doing this work. It was one of those dark nights of the soul experience. But thankfully, I had an alternative way of looking at this. And when I looked at my experience through this new lens, I saw my success, even if I hadn't reached my goal. Now, that was just a whole entirely new way of thinking about things. And making that distinction helped me reclaim and recommit and redefine success for myself instead of by how I've been taught and how everybody else told me success was. And so my new definition became living consistently with my values instead of just looking at whether or not I accomplished a goal. And this helped me to find a new sense of appreciation for myself and a new confidence that I hadn't had in a very long time. It allowed me to see, you know, how I'd lived my life, what I'd stood for, and the services that I'd given to others. It helped me to reclaim invalidated experiences, either by myself or by other people, that I just kind of, you know, went, oh, well, it wasn't a big deal. And it really helped to build my self-confidence. I mean, just think about in your own life, how many experiences have either been discounted or minimized, either by others or by yourself? And what would life be like if you really owned them from this new way of looking at success as living consistent with what's important to you? And that you did that even though you might not have made a goal. How much fulfillment and inspiration and motivation could that bring to you like it did me? I mean, connecting with yourself in this way offers you a stable foundation to come back to and to regroup whenever all the distractions of our modern world kind of pull you away from these kinds of questions. And one of the questions that I ask myself and I offer to you is, are my daily actions in alignment with my commitment to live consistently with my values and then take the action steps I need to work toward my goals? Now, I'd like to say I do this perfectly every day, but then I'd be lying, and so that goes against one of my values, so I can't do that. So the truth is that I'm challenged every day with distractions just like you are. However, I no longer beat myself up about this because now I know that this is part of my humanness. It's part of everyone's humanness. I know I'm going to get distracted. I know I'm going to lose my focus. I'm going to forget what I need to do to live consistently with my values and take action on my goals. I'm going to get disorganized and overwhelmed and frazzled. So I don't even worry about that anymore. In fact, I give it as little energy as possible. Why? Because what you focus on is where your energy goes. So when I realize that I get off track, then I can choose to use my energy to either beat myself up or to reconnect and reaffirm my commitment to living consistently with my values and then start taking new actions. It's kind of like, you know, you fall off a horse, you get back on it. Reminding myself of that experience brought me back to the question at hand about which business is going to help me live consistently with my values. These are different values than with children because we have many, many values. And so my new question was, how am I going to live consistently with the values of being financially responsible, expanding my reach and helping others, and giving more time to enjoy my family? Because all this, these businesses were just, you know, taking me away from time with my family. And it was like getting to be not okay. So hands down, the winner was my home-based business, Excellent Choice Global, a company that provides yummy for your tummy chocolates, antioxidant coffee, and golden diamond infused skincare, plus a compensation plan that offers a way to help people get healthy with their finances. But that wasn't all. As I was thinking about all of this, an old forgotten dream resurfaced out of nowhere. Hadn't thought about this in too many years, I'd rather not say. It was a dream from my high school self. At that time, we lived in Delaware. I was a military brat, Air Force brat, and we lived in Delaware. And I was in ninth grade and got involved in a business club. I don't even remember the name of it. It might have been DECA, but I'm really not sure. But I just remember, you know, we were learning about being the future business leaders of tomorrow. And it was also at a time in our country's history where there was a lot of concerns about a high probability that we might be going into war with some other countries, and it could be a nuclear one. So there was a lot of things stirring around in my little high school brain. And I remember kind of putting something together and saying, you know, we could have world peace if we would do it through creating a business all over the world. I remember saying, you know, you wouldn't want to harm your customers or your business associates. You wouldn't want to bomb them or anything like that. So, you know, my big vision at that time was creating peace on earth through a team of worldwide business builders and customers. It was a very meaningful dream. And is still today. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. So I knew that by joining Excellent Choice Global, I had made the right choice for me. So now I use this model to help clients redefine success for them. And as I build my team, they'll be able to have the benefit of all of my skills and knowledge that I've accumulated all over the years as we work together toward the goals that we create. And I like to call this You Inc., you know, You Incorporated. And I love to coach people to become their own CEOs of their lives. Because sometimes we get distracted and we try to live other people's lives instead of taking the time to connect with our own, to connect with what's important to us. And to allow that to be our measure of success, not what other people are doing. So to recap the steps that I have taken and kind of cycle back through again and again, is slowing down and pausing. Because in this world, it's really difficult to do that sometimes. Reconnecting with yourself, your core self, your heart and soul is what I call it. Clarify and identify your values, which are how do you want to behave as a human being? What's really important to you? I mean, how do you want to show up in the world? And then use your values to help you determine what your goals need to be on that firm foundation. And then make your new definition of success, living consistently with your values and taking action steps to reach your goals. And then if you don't reach a goal, then just root recalculation. Find another direction. Find out what's missing. Find out what you need to do and take those steps to do it. And whatever choices you make in life, be sure that they are yours and that they're excellent ones that support you living consistently with your values.